The band Retro Via is composed of five friends from Central Illinois: lead singer Jared Michael Prince, who also plays rhythm guitar, lead guitarist Jordan Van Wynen, drummer Blaine Wright, bassist and vocalist Bradley Barkus, and keyboardist Brett Anderson, who also plays saxophone. Retro Via is one of several Illinois-based bands playing this weekend at Pygmalion, an annual art and culture festival in Urbana, Illinois. You can check out Retro Via's show tonight, Thursday, September 22nd, from 10 to 10:30 at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana. Right now, we're listening to their track, Shallow. How do I lay my dreams to rest? Can we ever force the sun to set? Shine the brightest light in the darkest room. There's still some shadows breaking through. Close your eyes, forget to feel. Joining us now are three members of Retro Via: Jared, Jordan, and Blaine. Welcome to the 21st show.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
So, Jared, I'm going to start with you. What is the Retro Via origin story? When did you all start playing together?
This is Jared with Retro Via, and we started playing together. I think it was 2018. I didn't keep a log exactly, but I think it was around 2018. We started playing together. We all have been friends for a long time and playing music kind of in different things. We actually, for the most part, knew each other from playing in church together. And I've been playing music solo for a long time, doing stuff on my own. And I just really was tired of doing it that way. Really wanted to just play with friends, play with people I liked and trusted and thought would make me better. So I just kind of slowly started reaching out to a few guys that I thought would be fun to play with. And didn't take too long before we have, what is now Retro Via.
Blaine, I wonder if you can talk about, is there a story behind the name, or what's the story behind the name?
You know, honestly, I think Jared might be better equipped with that. We did like a weighted survey, and we all kind of came up with different names, and we ended up really liking this one based on its back meaning. Jared, can you fill in on that?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because I think it's still a sensitive subject in our band.
No!
It was going to be Death Kitten if it wasn't Retro Via.
So we all, I had the name Retro Via early on. So it's just Latin, which means the road back. And so I guess without going too deep into it, I think for me, and I think the other guys would probably agree, music is in a lot of ways therapeutic for us. And it just seemed fitting for it to just, for the name to be kind of just a recognition of what music is in our lives. So the road back is just kind of the idea of, just like music helps us get back to like who we are and who we want to be. And sometimes life, just kind of like turns us into things we don't want to be. And music is a way for us to get back to who, we think we were made to be. And so that's kind of what Retro Via means, what it stands for, I guess. But oddly enough, we all had, different things. We kind of had different ideas for what we thought the band should be named. And like Blaine said, we took a weighted survey, and I think Retro Via didn't win. And so we kept doing surveys until I got Retro Via to be the band name.
I think some people tried that with the American elections a few years back. Anyway, I digress. We need to take a break. This is the 21st show. More to come with Retro Via performing tonight at Pygmalion when we return. Stay with us. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Today we are previewing the Pygmalion Festival, and right now we're speaking with the band Retro Via, composed of five friends from Central Illinois. We are talking with three of them: Jared Prince, Jordan Van Wynen, and Blaine Wright. This evening they are going to be performing at the festival. I spoke with them last week. Before the break, we were talking about their sound and how they came together. I continued by asking Jordan about their 2020 EP, The Smoke and the Linger, and how that came together.
Yeah, we had started writing songs, you know, I mean, as early as 2018, and got a decent amount, you know, like 4 songs that we were really happy with. We felt were really polished. So we started doing demos with those, and we have a good friend who's a sound engineer, and we wanted to incorporate him into the project. And we were like, well, let's just release an EP with these songs and see where it takes us. And it was a really good experience. Most of the recording that we took place separately from each other. I play lead guitar, and I recorded basically all my guitar parts separately from everyone else. But we had a really good.
Is that I'm sorry to interrupt. Is that like with a click track, or and then like you're literally in separate times, separate places, or just separately in the same studio? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So I mean, it basically started off Blaine and recorded drums separately in a studio. And I just had that as basically as with a click track and just recorded guitar parts over that. So, yeah, it came together. I felt, you know, pretty naturally. It was really cool that we were able to do it separately. And our buddy Nolan, he engineered it and mixed it. And it's what it is today. So, yeah.
I want to come back to how recording that way then translates into live performance, but maybe we can talk about that a little later. While we're talking about the EP, Jared, let me ask you some of the songs. There's Con Man, Shallow, Stuck Inside My Head, Western Sun. There's this kind of, I don't know, what would you say, a nostalgic mood? What were you trying to capture with that music?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head with nostalgia. I think... even with the title Smoke and Linger, it's just kind of this idea of, you know, the things we carry with us. And I just had like this image of, you know, growing up, my grandma smoked, and I, you know, 20 some years after she quit, you still go to her house or ride in her car. And it's like, well, I can still tell that you smoked, you know? And, I think that image just like stuck with me, and this idea that like, you know, we all like carry these things with us, and, you know, whether or not they're still, you know, actively a part of our lives, we have these memories and these things that have happened that just stick with us, almost, you know, like the smell of cigarettes 20, 30 years later. It's still just kind of, it just gets in your fabric and it stays there. And so these songs are, you know, they're kind of, that's kind of what they were for me. Like Con Man, for instance, is a song about my grandpa. My grandpa was conned. He was a musician trying to make it big in Nashville, and he got conned by a traveling con man and took all of his savings and promised him the world. And so that's what that song is. And the repercussions of that have kind of rippled through my family are just, you know, they're just things you don't really forget, and they just kind of like leave a mark. So that's kind of what the songs were. I think for me, I was trying to just tell that story of different things in life that have just stuck with me.
All right, let's take a listen to some of Con Man.
Just a boy drinking from a cup with your ears all full of gold from the promises you spoke. Convince your mama to invest. It takes money to be heard.
It's not too personal to ask, and you don't have to answer, but can you, you mentioned that that experience really rippled through your family over time. You yourself are a musician now. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's one of those things that my grandpa had these big aspirations for, you know, what he wanted to become. And I think this part of it is a good thing in the way that it changed the course of his life. But rather than moving to Nashville, he stayed in the small town where he's from. he ended up marrying his high school girlfriend, who is my grandma. And, you know, so like some of those things, like they turned into like beautiful relationships and families. But it wasn't the way he had, you know, planned his life going. And I think he had a certain amount of sorrow about him for the rest of his life, just because I think he always saw that, you know, what could have been, you know, that he missed out on. But he remained to be a musician for the rest of his life. He played in a traveling gospel band and got my dad into music. My dad sang for years in like a rock band when he was younger. And yeah, I mean, then years down the road, you know, then there's me, and I grew up, you know, seeing my grandpa play guitar in his basement, you know, as a child, and just realized, okay, this is, you know, this is so cool. This is something I want to do. And definitely shaped me moving forward.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with the band Retrovia, composed of five friends from Central Illinois. They're one of several Illinois-based bands scheduled to play this weekend at Pygmalion, an annual performing arts and culture festival in Champaign, Urbana. Blaine, I want to ask you about the process of going from recording music separately in different spaces to having to play together live. What does that look like?
Yeah, I think foundationally we always write together, so we're always playing together. For the most part, we have five members, six instruments. So our keyboard player also plays saxophone. So he's, for the most part, I would say he's helping us write and form songs on the keys, and then he'll more or less add in saxophone parts later. Unless we're like, you know, okay, you need to hit the saxophone right now just so we can get a feel for this. But yeah, we're all writing together live. And then when we get to the studio, it's more kind of just depends on your budget and what you're able to do at the time. We'd love to, you know, maybe record live together, but that takes a certain skill level as well. And us all being able to kind of get into a studio that's big enough and, record all together. But so there's other options with modern technology where you can Jared can play guitar and sing, and we can anybody can play with me really while I record the drums first as a foundation with a click track, and then from there we can overdub anything, put anything on top, and then playing live is the best part. But we actually play to click live as often as we can, and just to stay as tight as possible. But at the same time, there's breaks in the music where I like to have the click track in our ears to where we can all come back in at the same time, and it's more of kind of that, I don't know, it's more of a magic that can happen, you know, where the listener doesn't realize that there's a click track in our ear, but then, you know, we all come back at the same time, and it's a little more powerful than me maybe hitting the hi-hat the whole time, or me clicking my sticks or something. But yeah, does that answer your question?
No, it absolutely does. Thank you for that. And just, I should mention to listeners, I think you have some of the youngest members, or the youngest member of the Retrovia fan club with you, Blaine. So thank you for making time with us while balancing that with family.
Yeah, no problem.
Jared, let me ask you, how would you say Retrovia's process and sound have evolved over the past 2 years since the release of the EP?
Yeah. So when we started writing together, I think all of us, you know, we're just kind of feeling it out. You know, what all of our styles are, what we listen to, how do we play together? And so the EP is a little bit of that, you know, it's like, it's kind of a meshing of five different, you know, worlds and opinions on style and taste. And, I think what's happening now with our, you know, newer music, which will definitely be heard at Pygmalion. And then even as we move forward, we're working on hopefully this winter recording a full length album. So with this newer music and our newer writing, I think what we have is more of it just feels like writing like a team. Like we all know what the end goal is, and it's just a matter of, you know, which road do we take to get there? And it didn't always feel like that in the early ones. It was tougher sometimes. I think, you know, we would all probably agree that sometimes it was that a piece of compromise can be kind of difficult as an artist. You know, when you want to play a certain thing or you want to hear it a certain way, but that's not necessarily the best thing for everyone else. And so I think the biggest change I would say is that it feels more fun now. It feels like we achieve what we're going for more often. And I feel like, you know, we're better for it. I think a lot of our songs they're more interesting now because we kind of know what to expect from each other. I hope the other guys feel the same way, but I think writing it's one of my favorite parts. I love writing with this band, but I think in particular what I like is that we write to play live. So we don't write in terms of, you know, what would make it the best sounding on the album. We write in terms of what we think is going to sound the best live, because that is the way most people are going to hear us right now.
And the way you can actually do it live, right? Because, I mean, then you have technical limitations. You can't have 18 musicians, unless you're Arcade Fire. That's a whole nother issue, though.
Right, we're limited. We don't write, you know, five guitar tracks with only two actual guitarists, you know. We write to what... So if you listen to our song on, you know, Spotify or YouTube or something, that's what you're going to hear live. Without too much like automation or anything like that. Just try to keep it like as real as possible.
Jordan, maybe we can talk a little bit more about that, because Retrovia recently released two songs with the Warehouse Live sessions, The Basement and Hideout. What was that recording experience like? How did that differ from the earlier EP?
Yeah, I mean, it felt honestly, it felt a lot more natural because at that time we were practicing more frequently. It just felt like another practice session, really. I just was very comfortable. And we set everything up how we would set it up live. I mean, I use essentially the same pedal board now that I used back then for my guitar, the same amp. We've made minor changes here and there with our sound, but we're pretty much sounding exactly how we have sounded since the beginning. And yeah, it was just it was an awesome experience. I really felt like we were in top form on those songs. And then obviously when we get to play it live for an audience, that really is that for me, that's just, you know, the most exciting part. So it was an awesome experience.
If I can add one thing to that, this is Jared.
Please.
Yeah, I think the another piece that made recording those live Warehouse sessions, I think even a better experience for us as musicians, but then hopefully it comes across for everyone else as listeners, is that it is replicating essentially what happens live, which is interactions between us as musicians. And when we record separately, I think we were really missing that piece with our EP. Mm-hmm. I go to play something on guitar and I don't really get feedback, you know, from Jordan about like, oh, that didn't sound good, you know, or like, oh, what the heck are you playing? Or what are you doing? Or, you know, you play something great and it just like pushes somebody else to play something even better, you know? And so that piece is there, I think, with the live recordings and getting to record together, that was maybe just missing a little bit in the recording separately aspect.
Jared, maybe you can talk a little bit more about the songs, right? I mean, it kind of builds on some of the imagery that was in The Smoke and The Linger. You know, it's a little bit more maybe on transition, what it means to leave things and people behind. Can you talk about what you were trying to go for there?
Yeah, I can. And honestly, I think even some of our newer stuff, it still kind of hits on some of that same motif. And I think what I've always aspired to be as a songwriter is a storyteller. I grew up listening to, you know, just classic country and, you know, some of these guys that just like, they just make a living out of telling stories. And, well, I wouldn't say I listen to much country these days. I really stick more to like the indie rock kind of vein, but, I've always just really wanted to be a storyteller. And so the best way I can tell stories is to just kind of tell my own experience. And so our songs are, I guess, my best way of being transparent about the things that are going on in my own life. And with the help of the band, we just, you know, put those things to music. So the things that I think a lot of us struggle with, things like depression, things like, you know, trouble communicating in your marriage, you know, loss of loved ones, like things like that, that, like I said, just they stick with you. They're painful things you have to work through and process. And the way I process those is you know, through music. And I'm just so thankful to have a band that kind of lets me bring the pieces of those stories I want to tell and help me find a way to communicate them through song.
We've been speaking with Jared Michael Prince, Jordan Van Wynen, and Blaine Wright, all of Retrovia, along with Bradley Barkus and Brett Anderson. They're going to be performing this evening, Thursday night, as part of the Pygmalion Festival. That'll be from 10 to 10:30 at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana. We'll have a full schedule of events on our website at 21stshow.org. Jared, Jordan, and Blaine, thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Another Pygmalion band, Mermaid Heaven, coming up after a short break. It's the 21st Show. Stay with us.